Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Mindsets. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. But it's mindsets. It's so frustrating when we don't deal with our thoughts. We don't, that people talk about everything but their thought life. Like God's not, I mean, Jesus said over and over again, knowing their thoughts, he said. Word of God says, knowing their thoughts, he said. Listen, God knows what we have need of before we even ask. Mm-hmm. And mindsets are just, it's amazing. You can tell, you got to deal with your mind. You're going to have to deal with your mind. You can't keep on having stuff go into your mind that is contrary to what God says and think that your body's going to line up. I mean, you're creating just turmoil for yourself when you're doing that, including allowing thoughts about yourself or thoughts about others that are the accuser or they're just whatever. There's not fruitful thoughts, you know, and he tells us about what we're supposed to be thinking about. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And he tells us, listen, that our battlefield that we fight is not a battlefield in some land somewhere. It's not in a relationship somewhere. The battlefield is in our mind. It's in our mind. And that's where the enemy fires these flaming arrows of accusation, of doubt, and all these. I mean, all of a sudden, a thought just hits you out of the middle of nowhere. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about that. Paul, he writes to the church of Ephesus but our faith and understanding, that's when we have to get in the Word of God. Our faith annihilates and destroys and demolishes those mindsets and those flaming arrows he fires all the time. We're not what we're being attacked with. But we are being attacked continually as long as we're in this life. We have to respond to that. And it makes me think about, you know, that we can just get such a mindset. And it's so cool to watch folks, because you hear people just constantly talk about everybody, you know, and everything. And it never crosses their mind that they could be the issue. Huh. It just never, that, you know, their prayer life, their confessions, their angles, the way they deal with things. It never crosses their mind. They don't ever think, well, maybe it actually is you that is the issue. And it wasn't that person being wrong, but God was just separating the two of you, the 10 of you, the 20 of you, the 100 of you, because you were the one causing problems and all that. It's like a big... You mean God would separate me? You know, the whole thing just never crosses the mind. And it's like, you know, you should always ask the question, Lord, is there anything that I need to do? And you'd be surprised. Oh, yeah. Wait for the answer. You know, wait for the answer. And, but he tells us, you know, we're in a war, but we don't fight with the weapons of this world. On the contrary, our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And strongholds are sentences that we're serving, mindsets, things, thoughts that came our way and became a part of our life. You know, demolishing them and destroying them and bringing every thought into obedience to Christ. I mean, that's what we're doing. It's literally, you know, how is your mind? I can tell you how your life is. You know, what's your thought life like? Right. And we'll just give you an example of this, you know, that I was caught up in busy or whatever, and I was going into the Cracker Barrel restaurant at one of the Cracker Barrels. There's one every 5 feet in America. And I was in a meeting, I guess, or something, and so I was gonna go to the restroom. You're not gonna believe this. So I go to the restroom, and but I was in my zone. What's that?
We might believe this.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm in that zone, right? In the zone. And just kind of, you know, knocking that out and getting back. And at that time there was things going on that they were talking about, you know, integrating the sexes and there's no difference between men and women and we're all all the stuff was going on. And I didn't even look at the door. You know what I'm saying? And I opened up the bathroom door and I thought, my goodness. Now they've taken away all the things that we know they're in men's bathrooms, right? And it was like a whole bunch of rooms or something. You know, I'm like, I was just couldn't believe it. I'm like, my goodness. I was just so distraught. I'm thinking, they've even changed our bathrooms. And so obviously I had to go into a closet, and I'm in a closet. And next thing you know, I hear this voice.
You hear what?
I hear this lady's voice. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm trapped. I'm in this closet. Oh my goodness. What do I do? Dear God, I need a word. I need a word. You know, because you can't, you're like little rooms and stuff. By the way, you don't know this. There's little rooms in there. And you're like in your own little room. And it's like, what do I do? And of course, it's Cracker Barrel, 10 trillion people. And this is obviously sometime back because I read the doors now. I don't care what's going on. I even rubbed the Braille. Okay. Yeah, that's the men's. And so I waited for silence. And I booked it out of that puppy and came in there and just went totally just tried to block it out of my mind. And by God's grace, CNN wasn't outside the door. Explain this. I can't tell you. I can't tell. I have no idea. And, of course, all the people around me go, it can happen. It can happen. And so, but the mindset was I wasn't in the wrong place. The mindset was they've changed what was. But the issue was not where I was. The issue was me, because I was thinking, I literally went through all these processes going, I can't believe they removed all the male things, you know, I'm going to talk about where they are, you know, from the walls and stuff. It's like, I can't believe it. We got to sit down for everything. No, anyway. And, and of course I realized that at that one moment when I heard somebody's voice, and you can see nobody, you can't see anybody, because it's like different rooms. And, but you could hear, it's like, oh my gosh. And then it's like, all those thoughts were wrong. Every bit of it was wrong. And it's very, very important, because so many people live their life like they're sitting right in the middle of something, and you're discerning it totally wrong, and you've made up your mind, and all of a sudden you're going to hear the voice of the Lord, and you're going to realize, you know, this is wrong. I need to do what's right. And this mindset, I just had this mindset, and I was, you know, focused and wasn't, you know, paying attention where I was going through, and a lot of different restaurants have different names. They put the lady's name on the male's door and vice versa, Padres and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is that you can just get a mindset. You can just get a mindset that you're never thinking outside the box. So which means this, you have to pay attention to what's going on around you. Mm. You have to constantly be outside of yourself. And there's some folks, you know, that was a moment. There's some folks, they live inside themselves. Hmm. They are a law unto themselves. Everything, they're the epicenter of all happening, and how that brief moment that I had, they literally live in that moment, and they never crosses their mind that the world's not built around them, and that every thought that they're having is not necessarily, you know, God's thought. And and think about that how important that is. That's just so important, because if we're wrong, we need to know we're wrong. But if we're not open up to the fact, he says, listen, we know in part and we prophesy in part, which means you got to find out who has the other part. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to find this out. You got to be open to counsel. You got to be open to have people around you. You want to hear, this is something we say often, what is God saying to you? Mm-hmm. We want to hear from other ministers and other believers, you know, what God's saying. We don't ever say that he's only saying what I'm saying or what someone else is saying. We're saying this is part of what God is saying. Mm-hmm. And that mindset, I was so convinced when I walked in there that they totally remodeled the men's restroom. Totally remodeled it. Mm-hmm. Didn't cross my mind. I went reluctantly in one of those closet things, and it didn't dawn on me. So I heard a different kind of voice, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Thank God that we did not see each other. Just God laughing at me as I'm booking you out that door. But listen, don't get that kind of mindset. Don't be caught down thinking that, you know, you are always right. You know, be open to being wrong. Believe it or not, Believe it or not, Pat's been wrong more than once.
More than once?
More than once.
Frequently.
Wow. Yeah, we don't have that kind of airtime right now. But but seriously, I mean, that was just really, really embarrassing. And if when you get back and look at your life, and if you've been living your life like that, other people can see those moments in your life, and they can see how they said, aren't you, you know, we've quite often we've said to people like, aren't you embarrassed? Right. And they go like, nope.
No, it didn't cross my mind.
It never crossed their mind, you know. It never crossed their mind because they
not a little pink in the face.
No. Not all pink in the face or nothing, because it never crossed their mind that they could be wrong. How they're perceiving you, how they're perceiving what God's doing, and it's just amazing. And is how foolish that looks. Mm. What happened to me? It's happening every day, every single day, with God's people, and we have to be open to what God is saying. And if you're only hearing from yourself. If you're only hearing from yourself and you're not hearing from others, and this is really dangerous because based on a lot of statistics that we have that I don't have in front of me right now, a lot of ministers are only hearing from themselves. Mm. Because I remember in the traditional sense, you'd ask people, what's God saying to you? And they go, absolutely nothing.
I have no idea.
Everything that they're hearing then comes from that one man or woman of God that's ministering. It's like, so you need to have relationships with other ministers so that you can hear more holistically what God is saying and be open to people looking at you and going, dude, you are in the ladies' bathroom with this word. This is not a God word. This is not a God word. God didn't change everything. God's still merciful. God is providing a way out. Yes, you know, calamity could happen, but listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's not another Lego set or doll. No, what your child wants most from you this holiday season is your time and attention. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and financial expert Mary Hunt reminds us, it's not about the stuff.
I promise you, when your children reach their adult years, when they remember Christmas, they will not remember the gifts. They will not. They're going to remember whether mom was stressed out or that she was fun to be around. Hmm. They're going to remember the time that you went and took the sled up the hill and sled together. If you're looking to make Christmas something your kids will remember, think past the gifts. Gifts are involved, but they are such a small, small part of it.
This season, be intentional about your time and money. Make some great memories with your children that they'll treasure forever. You'll find more ideas for your journey as a mom or a dad at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. And we want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. And let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the multiply, it's a multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe VineFellowshipNetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know what? I'm just so tired of religion, religious folks, you know what I'm saying? That bound spirit, and I love them. I'm just tired of that. It's just like, come on, are you serious? You know, we don't have long flowing robes. Oh, well, I guess we do, but they just come in like Hawaiian shirts now. You know, the kind of loose. And it's like, come on, dude. Listen, we are for the body of Christ. We are for Jesus. We are for the kingdom of God. It's time to break loose outside of our mortar and outside of our bricks and come out into the streets where Jesus was found in the streets and let people know that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. Okay, yes. I'm excited about this week. I'm excited because the same old thing has been going on since the beginning, since Jesus came, was born of a virgin, and all of a sudden the king of the day wanted to try to destroy the word of the day. His name was Jesus. Can we find the revelation and kill the revelation? Of course, a lot of people died because of them religious folks.
Yeah,
a lot of people died trying to kill what God was doing. But, you know, you can't, you know, all the wisdom of man cannot destroy the wisdom of God. All the strength of man can't stop it.
Right.
And, but many people get destroyed and hurt. And I couldn't imagine standing before the throne of God and being responsible for killing a whole bunch of children, thinking I was doing God a favor trying to kill Moses. Mm. Can you imagine that? Crazy. Can you imagine? I just can't imagine that. Or trying to kill Jesus and having, you know, all those dead babies around that you were trying to kill and you were used by the enemy to do that. I just can't imagine. That's what happened. You remember?
Yeah.
When Moses was born, you know, his mama had to put him in an ark, a little ark, if you would, and put him in the river and send him up the river all by himself with just God looking over him. Because if he would have stayed home, if he would have stayed in his Nazareth, he would have been dead. They would have killed him. They would have killed Moses. Isn't that terrible? Listen, if anything that I've been, you know, in my life and since I've been born again, and Pat can vouch for this, is naive. And so can my spiritual father, who's now with the Lord. You know, I was always like, you know, this knife inside of me right now, they didn't really mean to put this knife inside. They didn't want to kill the revelation, right?
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. True story.
Yeah, Pat's going like, I just pulled the last knife out.
You're going for another one
again? You know, I just took the nail out of your hand that was on the cross. Anyway, and then, you know, here's Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. And as soon as they, the same thing, another leader, you know, begins to say, I got to stop. And he was taken over by the devil and tried to take down Jesus and started killing babies left and right. So much so that God had to give his daddy, his you know, Joseph, his a dream and say, you know, dude, in a dream, yeah, because he couldn't even watch the morning news to find out what was going on. He didn't realize, you know what I'm saying? There was no texting going on or nothing, but Jesus was always communicating. The news is always there, and he said, run, you know, God says, run for his life, And they take off and they begin to move. If they wouldn't have moved, they would have died. Don't tell me that God doesn't speak to you in a dream. We wouldn't even have a savior if God didn't operate that way, because that's where Joseph heard in a dream what he was supposed to do, that he was supposed to be married to Mary, that he was not supposed to have intimacy with his wife until Jesus was born, and his name would be, it was confirmed in a dream that his name would be Jesus. So Mary didn't say, well, I tell you, got it. I prayed last night and God told me his name's got to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Got like banners all over the house, little markers in his Bible. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No, she didn't try to manipulate Joseph or nothing. She just kind of shared with it. And he's going like, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and divorce you now, because I've never heard of, you know, immaculate conception and all that. So I'm just going to go ahead quietly just go, I don't know what happened in that cave, but I'm just going to, it's just over. Right.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and he just kind of respectfully tried to leave. And then God spoke to him in a dream, and he said, listen, you know, this is me. What she's telling you is true, basically. And then his name is going to be Jesus. And then later on, he tells him another dream. You need to get up and go, because another leader is going to try to kill God's messengers again, and God's son. And it just, you know, this is what Jesus told us. He said, listen, there's going to be a day coming that people are going to kill you and say they're doing me a favor, doing God a favor.
Right.
And you think, you know, at some point, in what part of our history did we learn that we saw that happen in the last century, so we don't want to do that in this century. Okay, we saw that in the last decade, so we don't want to do it in this decade. Okay, we just saw it last year. We've learned last year, right? We don't want to do it this year, you know? And it's like, and then you start thinking about it. You know, I just really been meditating on this weekend, as you can tell. And who did Jesus have issues with? Well, who was obviously nobody's under his skin. But I got to say, the way he responded, when you're rebuking somebody and you're calling them whitewashed tombs and you're calling them, dead man's bones, mm-hmm. you're saying that, you know, you're making them twice as much a son as hell as you are. I mean, I have to say, I would assume he's speaking to us about being religious versus relational.
Yeah.
And he was talking to the people that taught people about God. He was talking to people who taught people about God. And my goodness, you know, it's just like, I think, you know, that when he said, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it unto me, that we have, that ends with, by the way, that explanation of how the goat and the sheep situation is going to go is, it doesn't say because you said a prayer you're a sheep, you're a sheep in how you treat people. That's what he's saying. He's saying you're not a sheep because you said, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace. You know, we're not going to talk about the Pope today. But, or you said, you know, forgive me, you know, and I want you to be my savior. But then you go out and treat people like hell in the name of religion. He said, listen, when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, in other words, how you interacted with people determined who you really were. You know, you could be like a sheep on the outside, but a wolf on the inside.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so then he separates them, not based on whether we said a prayer or something, or whether we read our Bible, or whether we, you know, sacrificed everything and prophesied everything, not where we used our gifts or not, and accurately or not accurately. He separated us based on how we treated people. And it ended with the sheep treated, the definition of the sheep is how they treated people, what was in their heart. Knowing what was in their heart, Jesus said, listen, dude and dudette, listen, don't quit worrying about what men think about it. God knows what's in your heart. If your heart is that way towards your brother or your sister, you know, and they're a Christian, that's the body of Christ. And that's how you're treating Jesus, bro. That's how you're treating Jesus, ma'am. You can't do that. I don't care how high your hat is and how flowing your robe is, that we're all going to stand there before the one who truly has the robe of justice at the throne of grace, and he's going to separate us there. I just want to encourage you. Listen, it's a lot sweeter and nicer to be down there with Mary with a busted alabaster box while people are criticizing you than be the one that's standing up around Jesus who is seated down criticizing Mary for what he's doing and Jesus's way of using finance, if you would, in the ministry right there. But then he separates, he takes all the goats, and he says, listen, you're going to go because the way you treated people, you're going to go to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's saying, listen, heaven and hell is going to be based off of whether we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, but the fruit will determine whether we've done that or not, and the fruit doesn't save us, but it determines, it lets everybody know that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And how we treat people. And it's amazing in the name of God how evil people can be. And the most evil of all, the ones that smile to your face and go out in the back and say all kinds of evil things. And David talked about it. David said, "Dear God," he said, "my bones are wasted away." He says, "I feel so isolated and alone. And even my neighbors and my friends don't want to have anything to do with me. Oh, dear God, what has happened?" You know what? He was a man after God's own heart. He was the accurate one in the kingdom. Isn't that amazing?
Right. Yeah.
It's totally amazing. I just wouldn't want to be the one that was dissing David. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I just want to encourage you. You know, you'll have a lot more energy and time if you don't worry about what the Pharisee or the Sadducee is saying. And then how would you describe that? You would call that a religious spirit. Somebody's just bound by self-righteousness, and they're basically speaking out and praying against the body of Christ instead of for the body of Christ. And it's sort of like an audience. And most of the church has turned into an audience in America, and they just kind of watch these shows versus like, hey, you're going to have to be held accountable. You're going to stand alone before God all by yourself, no matter what your gender is, no matter what your age is, no matter what your race is, no matter whether you're a pastor or you're a parishioner, whether you're a member of a church or you're actually the administrator of a church gathering. It doesn't matter. All alone, all by yourself, you're going to stand before God. No witnesses or no suspects. And it seems like these things have been compartmentalized to believe that we can just watch all this and live vicariously through others instead of, you know, I'm going to own my relationship with God. I'm going to do whatever I can do for God in the vapor of time I have left. And if it's in his will, this is what I want to do for him. I want to be able to be fruitful for him. I want to be the sheep that stands before his throne that says, when he hears these words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, and he talks even about the talents. You know, it doesn't matter if you got one talent. Work it hard, man. I mean, work it. I mean, just be glad. You'll be probably the better than anybody else at it because you got one talent and you know how to do everything. You can open cans with it. You can run with it. You can fight battles with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can sleep and lean on it. I mean, whatever it is. It's amazing when people have just a limited amount of talents. They can just work it. But people who's got this huge toolbox, like, well, I don't know. Am I going to do this today? Am I going to do that today? It's like, oh, my goodness. And it's just like, whatever you got, realize that he's just expecting us to do. Be faithful to what he's entrusted to us. I'm saying that because, you know, I think about, you know, what God said on my heart. I think about what Chuck Pierce said about America. He says, the reason why the government of America is stuck and the governments of the world is stuck, it just seems like to be, you know, my congressman is like sending me an email and I'm like, I didn't even want to read. It's the same thing. I mean, are you going to talk about parties and you're going to talk about this party or that party or him or her? And it's like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you doing as an individual? What are you doing as a congressman? What are you doing as a senator? And it's so weird. It's just like, you know, when you were little, you know, as a kid, you know, if you're arguing with your sister or your brother, you wouldn't know about that.
No.
You just kind of go, nuh-uh, right? Nuh-uh. Well, she did, or well, he did. And it's like, but that gets nowhere. I mean, we're supposed to grow out of that. You know, at some point when we grow up, then somebody just says, you know, we're going to do something. Even if we die doing it.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today. Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today. To dine in or to take out, you can have your meal on the go. It is good. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did.
If you've been claiming to be a believer walking in the light, bring clarity to your life. Listen, you're going to answer alone. Quit trying to, just you and God. bring some clarity to your life and check, everybody say check yourself. To see if you are in the faith. Check yourself to see if you're in the light. Quit making false claims. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a Christian, which means Christ follower, by the way, but walk in darkness, decide today if you're ready to give your life to Jesus or back to Jesus. It's that simple. I mean, clarity just comes. Like, hey, I decided whose side I'm on. To begin walking in the light of God, the truth, no longer walking in darkness, walking in the light as He walked in the light. No more lying, right? And who we're lying to anyway? And if you're a Christian and I lied to you and you know I lied to you and you let me lie to you, the best witness you can do to me, you go, you liar. You're walking in darkness. I love you, honey, right? That kind of stuff. I mean, the worst thing you do is agree with them because you think I'm really believing this? Right? They need to know that you didn't. Sometimes we empower darkness by acting like saying nothing. I love you, but you know this is wrong what you're doing. You better hope that you have more life than sin because you die in this thing, right? If you die in this thing, it's not going to be good for you. And you just don't know how long your life's going to be. Which means not only to say that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, but to learn His commands, His ways, and obey them. To love your Father. If He's your Father, where's His honor? If He's your Father, how come you don't look like Him? How come you don't talk like Him? How come you don't walk like Him? Everybody say who your daddy is. Who your daddy is. I believe that's what God's saying to the American church. Because you're saying that God's your dad. Right? It's good.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
You know, we root on players. You know, it's just the kind of American culture. You know, kick that ball, push that thing, you know, all these different things that are we're used to. But the reality is in the church, in the kingdom of God, we're all called to be players in this awesome story that our Creator is telling that started in the beginning, the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
And we're part of it. We have a role to play. Although it's short, described by James, considered a vapor, it's a part to play. Mm-hmm. Now, there is something I want to encourage you that if, in fact, you don't know this, you probably have felt trapped to criticize others how they're playing their part. But when you realize, wait a minute, I have a script here. I'm supposed to be doing something. Yeah, and it's amazing how empathetic we can be towards, you know, our brothers and sisters when we find out we're in this drama. I'm supposed to be doing something. And then even if your brother limps, you know, even if your sister, you know, has a few issues, and brothers and sisters do, right? Mm-hmm. We all do. That we want to say, so you know what? They're fighting with me. They're fighting with them. You know, there's nothing more precious than somebody that says, you know what? You know, and I'd rather somebody says, when you're picking somebody who's going to fight on your team, for example, and you're picking who's going to go out and do the patrol, for example, and you look at one guy and his uniform is all perfect and it's got all these, you know, iron creases and perfect medals and, you know, the color is still there in the uniform. He's got some starched creases down his pants leg. His boots are shining. Mm-hmm. And then you have this other guy. His hair is just, you know, all messed up, which is today's style, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Speaking of that, I saw me in a segment of VFN TV.
I'm glad I grew up in that.
I'm like, did you ever think to mention that my hair looked like a basket case? Y'all thought I was probably trying to style or something for this generation. That's not my style. It looked like a basket of weed on my head. Anyway, so, you know, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And so the
no problem.
No problem. His hair is always perfect.
It is.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
Never moves,
you know. Even when the air conditioner in his limousine is blowing. the And so you see this other guy, he's disheveled, you know, that his hair is messed up. You're going to, and they're waiting to see who you're going to pick to go fight with you. And this other guy with a neat, clean uniform is talking about how well he did. You know, he made a 4.0 on his tests and boot camp, and his gun's all shiny and stuff. But this other guy's got rips and tears on his uniform, and his name tag is kind of half ripped off, so you really can't tell what his name is. It's kind of got, he's roughed up, you know, his hands are roughed up. He's just looks, you know, beard kind of growing a little bit, and everybody's leaning forward. Well, most of America presently has been picking this nice, neat looking dude.
Yeah.
But you understand, if you're going to fight, you know, you're not looking at the outside, you're looking at the inside. So it's not the size of the tiger in the fight, it's the size of the fight that's in the tiger.
That's right.
And when you're talking about choosing people who want, you want to, you know, work with and fight with, you know, you want to just you're going to choose that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to choose the guy on the right. You know why? Because he's fought. He's not worried about what he looks like on the outside. He's ready to fight the battle.
Mm-hmm.
He's concerned. There's a fight in his heart, you know. And and pretty much, you know, the Pharisees were worried about the outside of the cup. And you can be with the outside of the cup crew, or you could be with the inside of the cup crew. Think about the people that are thinking about the inside of the cup. They're so focused on the inside of the cup, sometimes the outside's catching up.
Mm-hmm.
Or the outside has a lot of scars in it. But if you go deep into their life, you think, this dude loves God. Despite all of his mistakes, mm-hmm. all of his faults, despite him being a Saints fan, you know, he loves God.
Yeah.
That's so precious, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's so precious. And so you say, I want that guy. Mm-hmm. And everybody looks, well, why would you want that guy? I says, that guy's never fault, nothing. You know, I don't trust anybody don't well.
Mm.
You know, nobody's haven't been through something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know the ones that haven't been through something because they're just all like, you know, they're the ones when the lady was caught in adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw her, not him, whoever him was out there. They didn't bring him in. And they brought her and they threw her at the feet of Jesus. They threw her at the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
That would be us. And so, and you can imagine you're on the ground. You're at Jesus' feet. You're at God's feet, Emmanuel's feet. You have all these people who are religious around you. And you're not even looking up because you're thinking, this is not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were in sin.
Right.
You're in sin.
Right.
And they're talking about stoning you. And then they look at Emmanuel, they look at Jesus, the Son of God, and they say, well, doesn't the law say, didn't it say in Leviticus chapter, doesn't it say in Revelation, you know, it's like mm-hmm. whipping the word on you, like beating you with the sword instead of helping you, cutting things out of off your life, they're cutting you.
Right.
To stone her. I mean, that's like tough. That's tough, isn't it?
I would think so.
I mean, you've been a, you know, Saints fan for a long time, so you can kind of relate to what some of that's like, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I remember your paperback over your head.
The hangs on my wall.
Yeah, right. And that's just, I mean, think about it. I mean, just pause for a moment and think about it. You're at the feet of God. Jesus has come to make the Father known. The people who said they're for God are not for you, and they're using accurate Scripture against you, and Jesus didn't call him a liar. And so you're thinking, any time now you can say these guys are wrong, because they weren't wrong
mm-hmm.
in regards to saying the law says that she's to be stoned.
Right.
But then Jesus said this. He said this. He said, he that's without sin, you exercise the law towards her. You set yourself as judge over her. You execute this. You sit on the bench, you take your gavel, you slam it down, and you start stoning her.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, if you're her, you're going like, dude, these guys are really going to think they didn't sin or nothing. They're going to hit me with a stone. It's going to hurt. And wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many people's like, you're throwing stones, and you're like, are you really? Are you really? Are you seriously sitting here stoning somebody? Don't you know who we are? Mm-hmm. You can't do that. It's embarrassing. And so she waits, still looking at his feet. Jesus even squats down to where she's at, right? Kneels down and starts drawing in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you can just like tick, tock, tick. Because people that aren't righteous still kill you.
Yeah, right.
There had to be an anointing drop at that moment because there's so many people that get blinded by religious pride that they really think they're righteous in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the clock's ticking, right? And so Jesus is drawing in the sand. I mean, think about it. Maybe he's just drawing things that they did. You know? Mm-hmm. It's like, and what happens is, I mean, we don't know he's drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just waiting. And then the older men, this is what it says, the older men drop their stones first. They take their judge robes off and they put their gavel down. They're going like, I'm not going to do nothing here. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do nothing. You know why? Because the longer you live, the more you limp.
Right.
Or the more you realize you limp. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these young whippersnappers in the Lord, that's the Southern term for like, what are you thinking? They just haven't, you know, they have a lot of zeal, but they don't understand yet. It's not applied. There's no application in their life yet. And it's good. Don't ever snuff out zeal, but just brace yourself to be there for them when they experience the reality that they are a fallen man or fallen woman.
Yeah, right.
And they're going like, I can't believe that I thought this thought. You're thinking, oh, my goodness. You can be calm about it.
Right.
You know, because it's really it's a brand new thing to them. I can't believe I thought I was so perfect and now I have all this pride in my life. Well, no, you're just beginning to see the pride in your
life.
Right. We were well aware of it for quite some time. Right?
Right, yeah.
And we were just, you know, we understand because, you know, we ourselves are the same. And so the older guys drop their rocks first, but the younger guys are still holding on to the rocks. They're still holding on to the opportunity. Wait a minute. It does say there she's wrong. It does say that she's sinned. That's exactly what the law says. And they're pondering back and forth. I think we should take her out. You know? And then I think he begins to write a few more things in the sand. I mean, I don't know what he's writing, but it said something happened. Because they had a second thought. And they begin to drop their rocks. And everybody walked away.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Anyway, first of all, I do want to say that I remember borrowing your bicycle once. I think it was your trike.
Really?
Yep.
He had a seat. The seat was about the size of the ruler they gave you in the first grade.
How do you sit on it?
I don't.
I'm telling you, man.
I hover over it.
I'm thinking, I got on this thing and I made it maybe about 10 feet. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's happened to me? I'm thinking, but I started thinking back. I never sat on a ruler before. That wasn't what I was done. We had like banana seats and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm thinking, how can this man sit on the seat? And I thought, wow, I am such a wimp. I couldn't make it all the way around the block, you know, with that. And I'm thinking, wow. And people do ride on those seats, don't they? Did they?
Yeah.
No, it was like a ruler turned sideways. It wasn't even a ruler. It was really bad. And I just want to say that if you want to plenty of fruit in your life, you probably don't want to wear those kind of seats.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
They were right in saying that the law says she should be stoned. We all should be. Mm-hmm. But now under the new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, that we can be forgiven instead of being stoned. And so Jesus looks at her after all of her accusers left, and he says, "Where are your accusers?" Mm-hmm. And then he says, "Now go and sin no more."
Right.
He didn't say, "Continue on with what you're doing." Mm-hmm. He said, "Go and sin no more." What does that mean? I mean, this lady had a limp. These other men, young and old, had a limp. Mm-hmm. And those are people you can trust. They've been through something. They understand things. And the naivety, you know, and it's difficult, you know, you can be in a place that you never grow up in God. If you don't have anybody that's speaking into your life, somebody discipling you, you can be 60 years old, 50 years old, but in reality, spiritually, you're probably maybe 3 years old because nobody ever brought you out of the milk of the word. And you're struggling every single day with elementary things, and you're defeated. You know why? Because you haven't matured in the Lord. But there's 10,000 teachers, and there's very few fathers. We have been dysfunctional in the church. We've been dysfunctional at large, because in America at least, but the world in general, but definitely America, we're seeing statistics that prove it. They say 70% of Americans study survey says that the major problem in America is the absence of the father. It's the absence of the father. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what pushed him out or what seduced him out? What's going on? Well, it's because the father's in the church. There's no fathers in the church. I mean, there are fathers in the church, but there's not many fathers in the church. There's a lot of teachers. Let me teach you something. I don't want to hear another teaching right now. I want somebody to mature me. I want somebody to love me. I want somebody to teach me to move from that younger person to the older person so that I can be okay with a limp that I have in my life, that I can walk this out, and that God loves me in the context of this. You know, help me understand that though men accuse me, Jesus is not my accuser. That Satan's the accuser of the brethren. Help me learn that I need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, not a religious figure sitting on some shelf somewhere in my house and a dusty Bible that 97%, you know, are not even interested in the context of their heart. Where they know, help me, raise me. Paul said there's 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers in Christ Jesus. Listen, if we want to see families restored, we want to see marriage get back to where God says it needs to be, it's not going to happen because we have somebody teach us about it. Mm. It's going to happen when fathers get the courage to realize we all limp, and it's been the accuser telling you you can't be it. And let me tell you, the accuser lines up. It's like, my goodness. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm hoping, you know, this week on VFN TV, you know, by God's grace, that we're going to speak about the accuser. We're going to uncover this accuser. Because Satan is the accuser of the brother. He accuses day in and day out. And if you don't understand that, you think actually somebody else is accusing you or God's accusing you and all the different stuff. And it's actually his voice in doing that. And the father's coming back. And so men need men. Women need women to be able to raise them up in the Lord to be fathers and mothers in the Lord. It's a family. We're called to be family. And we need fathers and mothers who talk about their limp. Who say, you know, I've been through some stuff. You know, help me know that you're not perfect. You know, I can possibly see that you're not, but you're not explaining to me how you're not.
Right, right.
You know, and because you're, and this is what happens when you try to act religiously perfect, the enemy accuses you to that person, and then that person begins to accept those criticisms and begins to look for all your faults and tries to prove that you're not religiously perfect. And the truth is, that's all Satan's plot altogether. You know, we should have been authentic and transparent. It's time for us. The hope for America is not a man. It's not a woman. Mm-hmm. It's the man, Jesus Christ. We limp. The very fact that we say that we are Christians means that we are sinners. There's no way out of this thing. We're bound for hell. But we found that there's a way to God.
Right.
There's a way to God. through his son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for us. I mean, that's the whole thing. But the fact to say you're a Christian is not that we can put on a robe and grab a gavel and a stone and start heading out somewhere and fixing to do business like that. The fact that we're a Christian, we admitted that we had to humble ourselves and we had acknowledged that we sinned and that we're hopeless outside of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord. But in knowing him, that he empowers us to walk a walk out that we couldn't even walk before through his grace and his mercy. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the fact. And so to jump from saying that, you know, we are Christians and then jump right into, and then I'm your measuring stick. You know, you should live a life like me instead of Jesus Christ being the standard. It's like, where did that come from?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so today, I just want to encourage you today. If you limp, you know, understand that we all limp. We all limp. If you don't limp on the outside, you know, you limp on the inside. And you don't want to blame anybody for your limp. You just want to, I limp. You know, I limp. But it just makes me more dependent on God. It makes me more grateful to the Lord for saving me and loving me. Amen. You know, obviously, we have a lot less limps than Pat. But it's encouraging to know when we look and project that we could be like that. No, seriously. Sweetest man you ever want to meet.
Cricket.
It's great.
I love you, man.
There you go, love you, man. Oh, wow. Sacrifice. So the... No, seriously. No, dude, we're always joking about that. Obviously, you know, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Pat's running a near close in the race, and Chris is beating us by nose.
I did smoke my Bible.
right. He did smoke his Bible. Find out more about that on the View of Torch. And so, even see the Bible that he smoked. Come, see the Bible that he smoked. So, I mean, the biggest thing you could think about this morning, you know, before we go to this break, I just want to encourage you this morning. Listen. Don't fall captive. Realize when you stand up for God and you say, you know, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to abide with him and I'm going to obey him. And I'm going to believe he's going to empower me to be a father, a mother, a family, a business owner, an American citizen, you know, that, you know, you're going to have enemies. I mean, the enemy is going to be the ones who want to walk in darkness, the ones who don't want to walk with God. They're not going to tell you, listen, I mean, this is what they, if they really were authentic and transparent, this is what they would say. And we've already talked about this in Proverbs. They would go, listen, you're absolutely right. God is real. Mm-hmm. And he did send his son. And every time I'm around you, all my evilness, all of my dark ways, all that my sin is ever before me. And I feel so convicted when you're around because I realize I'm wrong. All I could think about and hear that I've sinned and I need Jesus. And you are so right in telling me I need the Lord. And I'm just so grateful. You know, they're not going to tell you that. Mm-mm. They're going to say, I hate you. You know, they're going to say, you know, you always, you, and the accuser thing. And the reason why is because they feel like such a sinner in the presence of God. You know why? Because they're just getting in touch with what you already knew. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. But the difference is they're saying, I don't want to leave my sin.
Right.
And when you know you're wrong, and you know what the answer is, and you don't choose the answer, you're a miserable person. And you got to blame someone. But this is the big thing. There's a final exam. Every one of us alone will stand before the throne of God, the holy throne of God. So you may live your whole life blaming everybody for your choice to walk in darkness, but guess what? You're going to have to explain that to God, and it's not going to be good if you didn't choose the right answer. The right answer is Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with him. Find out more how we, or some of us, you know, our stories on meetmyfather.org, and maybe that can help you understand, listen, God, we've all sinned. Every one of us need to drop our rock. Not only are we the religious person holding the rock that we need to drop, but we're also the woman caught in adultery. But all of that was at the feet of Jesus, not just the woman caught in adultery. God loves us all. We were just talking about the awesome grace of God and that, you know, we are not supposed to be judging our brother. The truth is we should judge ourselves to see if we're in the faith. We should test ourselves. But in regards to our brother and our sister, that we're supposed to let God do that, which is a great, it'll take a lot of pressure off of you. I mean, you can get different clothes now. You can get rid of your robe. You can, you know, break your gavel and say, you know, God, I'm going to leave this to you. I'm going to leave this to you. And he says this. He says, don't judge anything before it's time. And if you would have judged me before this time, you would have never known this is what I'd be doing. I would be doing this.
Right.
And understand, you have a shooting story too. I mean, you think about it.
Oh, I do.
No one ever would have thought. Right?
That's right.
Right. No, Pat, we probably would have thought he'd be doing something like that. But you can't judge anything. You just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow with somebody. And you got to give, you know, the kingdom time to grow in one's hearts. And don't judge. Just not our place to judge. He says, you know, whatever mercy you, amount of mercy that you give others, that's the amount of mercy that's going to be given to you. Does that mean you don't speak truth? No, of course you speak truth. Does that mean that you don't look at a situation and evaluate it if it's right for you and right wrong for you, or if it's you know, right for the church or wrong for the no. But in regards to an individual, realize there's always hope. There's always hope. And we just speak the truth in love, not in judgment. You know, when we share things with people, you know, you have to share it in a way they want to hear it. If you condemn them when you're sharing it, they're not going to listen to you.
Right.
So then that was more of a judgment.
Right.
But if you empathize with them and say, listen, let me tell you about Chris's life. And they go, wow, you know, I'll tell you about my life.
I usually get that effect.
Yeah.
Wow, there is hope for me.
Yeah. And so that encourages them. That's why we write Meet My Father, you know, a few testimonies up to show people to understand this, that God can use you. There's hope.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Oh my goodness, aunties. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more. In Cantonment, you don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from racks to specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.